to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about a passage of Scripture I know every single one of you heard of. And it includes some principles that are spiritual, but also something that God has worked into the very fabric of the universe. And even people in the world recognize the basic principle behind this, but they don't always apply it, and especially to spiritual things. And it applies to spiritual things, but it also applies to almost every other area of life. And that is the principle that we find in Galatians 6. So we're going to be looking at Galatians 6, verses 7 to 9. And that is, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Okay? All right. Start off with a little story. When I was a kid, I wanted a boomerang. You know what I'm talking about by a boomerang, right? Curved stick. You take it, you throw it, it comes back to you. And I can't remember where I got one, but I got one and it didn't work. I've heard there's something about the way you throw it. You know, you have to throw it just right, but it just didn't work. So anyway, but the thing is, I've developed a very special skill through the years. Okay, I got this. You may not see it. It's a very, very small ball. Okay, so I can take this ball. I can take any ball, and I can actually make it act like a boomerang. I can throw it in a certain way, and it will come back to me. Without bouncing off of something else, it will come back to me. How many of you believe me? Does it have a string on it? No, it doesn't have anything on it. So, if I throw it just the right way, hard, soft, whatever, it will come back to me. Lisa's got to figure it out. Throw it up in the air. It'll come back to me. Now, I can't do it in any other direction. But I can give you that silly illustration. Why can I confidently say it's going to come back to me? What goes up must come down, and it's because of the law of gravity, which actually the law of gravity is very similar to you reap what you sow. Okay? And a number of other things. Okay? So, a couple other questions. If I jump off a 10-story building, what will happen? You'll fall down. How often? How many times? Well, that's true, only once. Okay. Okay. All right. I'm glad we're having a good time. Yeah, every time, right? Because of the law of gravity. All right. Another question. 2 + 2 = 4. How often is 2 + 2 = 4? Every time, because there are certain laws that make it that way. Okay, one more illustration, then we're gonna jump into this. I have had several gardens through my life, and I have harvested tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, peppers, jalapenos, but I have never harvested corn. Why would that be? Because I never planted corn. Okay? All right. You know, there's certain things you just expect because there are laws that are built into this universe. Physical laws, spiritual laws, all kinds of laws. All right? And there are certain unchangeable laws that determine how the world works. And one of those that affects the spiritual realm, but almost every other area of our life is the one God says is you reap what you sow. So we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. I'll read the whole passage, and then we're going to jump into it here. Starting in verse 7, Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So the basic principle is here in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. And Paul is using this illustration from plants, agriculture. To sow means to plant, all right? It can also mean to spread or utilize or to invest. Now, he's not just trying to tell us how to be a good gardener. All right. He's saying in your life, whatever you sow, you will reap something from it. What are some of the things besides plants and vegetables okay, and fruits. What are some things that we sow? What are some seeds that we sow? What'd you say?
Giving.
So financially. We sow financially. In fact, Paul uses that same principle in Corinthians to talk about giving financially. Here it's not talking about financially specifically, but in Corinthians it does. So in finances, what else? Lisa?
Love.
Okay, so our attitudes and our expressions of relationship to other people. Tashana? All the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. All right? What other kind of seeds that we sow? Yes. What?
Lies.
Yeah, there's negative seeds too, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so our words, the content of our words, and also the attitude behind our words, and Yes, Amanda. What? Okay, taking care of our kids. That's a whole category. We want to sow a bunch of good stuff into our kids, okay? And we as parents want to be very careful not to sow bad stuff into our kids. Lynn? Okay, willingness to forgive. Yeah. All right. There's all kinds of seeds. Categories, attitudes, thoughts, words, actions, habits, our lifestyle, resources. Okay, mentioned finances, money, but also our time. How we sow our time will make a difference. Our abilities. You know, whatever abilities we have, whether they're just natural, normal talents or whether they're supernatural given gifts, how we use that is a way of sowing. So as you can see, and I'm sure you could see it before anyway, it really does affect every area of life. And every single one of them have consequences. You've got physical ones, like I talked about. If you jump off of a 10-story building every time, which you'll probably only be once, but you're going to go down, you know. Relationships. If you are cruel to other people consistently, you're probably going to get some negative reaping, some negative feedback. Whereas if you are consistently loving and all that kind of stuff, there are exceptions, but consistently people that are around you, that know you, will turn around and treat you the same way. You know, in the world, they understand this principle, but they call it something else, don't they? Karma, or that saying, what goes around comes around, all right? You see that in areas where you have talents. If you practice, you sow into make it will get better, all right? And then, of course, spiritually, moral decisions affect ourselves, affect the people around us. And see, that's the other part of it, too, that makes it so important is that what we sow not only affects us, we reap it, but the people around us reap it, too. Okay. And unfortunately, we many times will reap things that other people have sown. All right. All right. So he goes on here. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What does he mean by that? What comes to your mind when you think about God is, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Okay. So in a sense, God is not going to be taken advantage of. Okay. Or just because we have a relationship with him, as wonderful as that is, doesn't mean that God's going to ignore what goes on in our lives. Yeah, I got to have it this way. You can fool others, but you can't fool God. You can't fool God. All right. I remember when I was in the fourth grade, and I've always loved to read. And so I would sit in class. It didn't matter what the subject was, and I would hold a book in my lap, and I'd have to pay attention to the teacher, and I'd be reading this book in my lap underneath the desk. And I still did okay, so I thought it was all right. And I thought, this is great. I get to read all the time. And so there was a parent-teacher conference, and me and my parents went to it. And the teacher told my parents, they said, you know what? He's doing pretty good in class and stuff. He's always reading. He doesn't think I can see him. But since he's doing okay, I don't say anything. Like, I wasn't fooling her, no way. And I thought I was fooling her. And you can't fool God, you know. But you know what? There are people that think they're getting away with things all the time. And even we as Christians can get into that trap if we're not careful. You can't fool God, okay? Yes, Lynn.
As you mentioned, that's dangerous.
Yes, it is. That's a great example of mocking God, to know what's right and what's wrong, and to say, well, I'm going to go ahead and do what's wrong because I'll just ask God to forgive me. Now, there's probably not a single person in this room that's never done that, you know? But the thing is that we make that a lifestyle, That is mocking God, you know, to think, well, you know, God's going to forgive me, so I'll just go ahead and do it. That is a dangerous thing. It's taking God's grace and mercy for granted. It's being presumptive, okay? You know, really, if you think about it, this is kind of how sin entered the world, Adam and Eve. Satan told them they could get away with it. You know, did God really say? Did he really mean what he said? Oh, there won't be any consequences. He said, you died. No, you're not going to die. You know, and so it's the same line. Why is it that we're deceived so easily? Why do people think that they can get away with it? That we won't reap what we sow? If people don't see it, you can get away with it. Okay? Any other thoughts about why it is that we think that we can get away with it?
Because they see other people do things and get away with it.
Because they see people doing things. And it looks like,
They're getting away with it.
And why does it look like they're getting away with it?
Because they see no consequences.
Yeah. Because there's, for many things, there are no consequences immediately.
Right.
That's the whole key. For many things, I mean, there are some things you do, there are immediate consequences, like jumping off of 10-story buildings. Okay, but there are other things, the consequences aren't going to come for a while. And that goes right along with this picture of sowing. Because you sow something, you're not going to sow a corn kernel one day and come out the next day and be picking off 10 ears of corn from a plant. Yeah. Tashana, you had your hand up. A lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we are deceived by the enemy that, okay, maybe there will be consequences, but they won't be as bad, you know? Or sometimes we're like, yeah, I know there's gonna be some consequences, but it'll be worth it. And then later on, it's like, ooh, it sure wasn't worth it, you know.
Sometimes we see the consequence, but we don't know the cause.
That's right. That's right.
So
that's right.
We have to keep silent.
Yeah. And then there's that deception that Satan gets to us about, well, you'll be the exception.
Yes.
That really is true for everybody else, but, you know, you're a special case because this happened to you or because this about you or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So. All right, so that's the principle, okay? You reap what you sow. And then we have a warning, all right? If you plant bad seed, you're going to harvest trouble, okay? First part of verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Okay, what does this mean to say to sow to the flesh? What does it mean to sow to the flesh? Tashana? You're not Tashana. Let her go first, Carlton. You can add to it, okay? Yeah, go ahead, Tashana. To give into sin, Carlton. Give into our carnal, fleshly nature. Yes, and give into sin. Yeah, that's our flesh.
It says in drinking, our soul to the flesh.
Yeah, many times it's things done in excess.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I saw a hand back here. Who was it?
I was
going to say yourself. When you live to please yourself. Yep. Following your basic desires without any concern about right or wrong. Okay. Or even if you are concerned about it, you still do what's wrong because, you know, you'd rather do that. Okay. So our sinful nature, our sinful human desires. And it says we will reap corruption. Some translations say destruction. It means ruin. The word that is used here literally means the decay of dead bodies or decaying food. Have you ever stuck something in your refrigerator, leftovers, got put it in the back and it got hidden a little bit and then you found it a month later, 6 months, whatever, and you open, it's like, some people's like, don't even open it, just throw the whole container away, okay? That's kind of the idea here, all right? And this is trying to get across the idea that sin is serious, all right? And every single one of us is reaped a word? We have reaped from sinful actions in the past, right? Some more than others, and some have long-term effects and will have long-term effects for the rest of our lives. Thank God that God forgives and that when we get to heaven, all that stuff we don't have to worry about anymore. Sin can be serious. Another thing that's about reaping is that you usually reap more than we sow. I mean, you plant one little seed, it's not going to just grow one little. What'd you say?
Harvest.
The harvest. Yeah, the harvest is going to be abundant.
Yes.
Probably more abundant. I meant to look this up. I forgot to look it up. But there is a statement about sin. It says, you sow sin, and it'll take you farther than you want to go, longer than you want to go, In other words, it's going to grow a lot bigger than you thought. Okay? So anyway, we usually reap more than we sow, and we reap later and greater, one person put it. And it doesn't just affect us, but it affects other people too. You know? And I can tell you one thing that's really frustrating to me as a human being, as a Christian, and as a pastor, and I'm sure it is to you too. When you see people that you really care about, and you see them doing stuff they really shouldn't be doing, you know what I'm saying? And even if you lovingly try to tell them or whatever, you know they know the truth, but they think that they're the exception, or, well, it's going to be worth it, or whatever. And you know that there's going to be a payday eventually. Lori. Yes, there are what you call blind spots. And this really just ties into the whole thing of why it's so important that we know God's word. Okay, because it's in God's word. You know, this Bible study series we're going to start next week on Proverbs, you know, everyday wisdom, you know, wisdom for everyday life, practical wisdom for everyday life, is that God knows how things are supposed to go. You know, there are times that people are breaking God's law or opposing or living contrary to what he would recommend because they don't know any better. Okay? And but for those of us that do know better, it's just not really an excuse. But again, that's a reason why we want to be sure that we do have an understanding of God's will for us in general, but also for us specifically too. Lisa? Yes, yes. You know, that again, that's why relationships are so good. I'll repeat that for the recording. We're here to encourage one another, but we're also here to lovingly hold each other accountable. And there are right ways to do that and wrong ways to do that. And I'm sure you, like me, have seen somebody said, man, they are so blind to themselves. You know, especially when you see somebody complaining about something about somebody else. It's like, well, you're just like that. And you want to tell them, you know, and I mean, if you're in relationship and God tells you to, you can. But the thing is, we all have them. Whenever we feel that way, we got to remember, okay, there's areas I'm blind to too. Yeah. Yeah, Joan. That's right. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and sensitive to our conscience. Okay, now the sense of the Holy Spirit can be ignored and grieved. Our consciences can be seared. Okay, they're not. It's not 100% guaranteed because we impact that. But we need to grow, and we need to ask for and make sure we stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to God speaking to us. Yeah, I thought I saw another hand. Oh, Lori. Sure. Yeah. So there's two principles there. One, that we don't know what everybody else is going through or has been through, and we don't know what their blind spots are. But neither do we need to say, well, then I have no right or no responsibility at all to get involved, because we do, depending on our relationship and that kind of stuff. But that's why you have the principles about speaking the truth in love and doing things with gentleness and understanding. Like I was preaching on Sunday, even when you're sharing the gospel, you do it with gentleness and respect. So we've got to do it the right way. Yeah, Lynn. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we all have different weaknesses. You know, we can look at somebody else and say, well, how in the world could they give into that or do that, whatever, because it's not an issue for us.
Exactly.
But we have our own, you know. And so there's a couple of things here that are really, really important. One of them is our attitude. And that is, if we find ourselves looking at other people or whatever and saying, oh, boy, they're going to really reap that. And we're just like, I can't wait to see it. I tell you what, we need to start praying, because our attitude is just as bad, if not worse, than whatever they're doing. But the other part of it is it'd be so easy to take a passage like this and a study like this to look at other people, when my primary purpose should be that I can look at myself. Look at myself first and foremost. Okay? So we got the bad news there. If you plant bad seed, you harvest trouble. But there's good news. If you plant good seed, you'll harvest good things. So he goes on in verse 8, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. It's talking about God's Spirit. So what does it mean then, or what comes to mind when you think of sowing to the Spirit? What does it mean to sow to? If sowing to the Spirit is going to bring about good stuff, how do I sow to the Spirit? What does that mean to sow to the Spirit? Okay, so Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Okay, so one way to apply this would be to follow the principles that Jesus has laid down, okay, and are reinforced by his Spirit to experience that abundant life. Again, so that's why it's so important to understand what God's word said. I heard somebody over here was making a response. Was that you, Alex? Hmm? He said, if you feed your spirit, yeah. That's right. Feed your spirit and not your flesh. All right. Yeah, yeah. Melba. Yeah, we'd seek to do what the Spirit wants us to do. Very good point. And how do we know what the Spirit wants us to do? Again, God's Word, but also that sensitivity to His voice as He applies His Word. Because the Word may have a principle, but the application of it, He's going to give that to us personally. Lori, you had your hand up. Yeah, inviting Him to come and do what He wants to do and being willing to do what He tells us to do. He's not going to force us. You know, sometimes we know what the right thing is to do, and it's like, I don't really want to do that. It's too hard. Going back to the forgiving thing, I forget who, was that you who said that, Lynn? Yeah, and some of the other things are hard to do, but we need to. Lisa.
Mm-hmm. We need to break those
fingers. That's right. As believers, we need to set guardrails in our lives, boundaries, okay? God says to do this, and in my life, and we need to set boundaries, like you said, for ourselves. Other people may not have the same boundaries. Now, everybody has the same boundaries that we don't do what's wrong, we do what's right. But to keep ourselves, a good example, like you said, I won't meet alone with a woman, okay, other than my wife. Or another family member, my granddaughter, whatever, you know. But the Bible doesn't tell me that, but that's a guardrail I've put in my life. But I can't turn around and judge another pastor who might, okay, or a counselor or whatever, okay. They are responsible for themselves and their guardrails as long as they do what's right. So,
sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. You must have something good to say. Yeah. So that put together with something else you said earlier and another principle here that what we sow doesn't just affect us, it affects others. Okay. So Paul told Timothy to be an example. And of course, Paul sought to be an example. He said, follow my example as I'm following Christ. So when we apply this to our lives of I don't want to sow this because this is going to do this for me, or I do want to sow that because it's going to do this for me, we need to also think, well, I don't want to sow this. Maybe it isn't that big a deal for me, but because of my example, okay? Or, you know, and so we got to think of that also because things that we do and sow, say, whatever, it affects other people. Norris. That's right. That's right. Joseph is a great example, and there are times you need to run. I had a really interesting teaching one time. You know, the big negative things we face can either be a trial or a temptation. Okay, and when they're clearly one or the other, because sometimes they can be both. Okay, in the Bible it talks about when we find ourselves under trial, we're called to hold on and persevere. But when we're facing temptation, we're called to run. Okay, but sometimes when we get under temptation, we're like, ah, I can hold on. It's like, no, don't. Get away! Get away, okay? So it says here that if we sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit we will reap eternal life. That's not just talking about salvation, we'll go to heaven. It does include that, but the abundant life that Carlton mentioned too, it affects now, you know? We will never have a perfect life here, and we'll never have a life here without pain, sorrow, whatever, because we live in a sinful, fallen world. We're still going to make mistakes, and other people around us are doing it. But life goes so much better if we'll live it the way God calls us to live it, okay? God has good things for us. And just like I said, one of the frustrations as a human being, as a Christian, but as a pastor, you see people that know better, know the truth, and they're pursuing their own way. One of the greatest joys is to see people, especially if you have the privilege of being in relationship with them and being a positive influence on them, that they're doing, they're sowing good stuff, and you see the growth. That's great joy. Okay. All right. So then the last thing here is there's an encouragement. Don't give up. The harvest will come. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Don't grow weary. Don't get tired. Why would we get tired of doing good? Amanda. Because you're trying so hard to do good and it's not easy. And you see people that are not doing that and they seem to be doing better than you are, right? It looks like it. Yeah. It's just like, is it Psalm 73? Is that the one Asaph is writing? And he says, I've been serving God and doing all this kind of stuff. And I see the wicked and they're doing great and they're prospering. And it's like, why am I living like this? And he said, I'm glad I didn't say anything to anybody because I might would have caused them to stumble. So that goes back to your principle then. You know, I'm glad I didn't say anything. He says, but then God let me see what the end result's going to be. And as God allowed him to see that they're going to reap what they're sowing. Okay, right now, the consequences aren't there. And that's one of the biggest things, is because, you know, it seems like even though we're trying so hard, nothing's happening. It's not making a difference. All right. The consequences, you know, the negative consequences don't come immediately, but neither do the positive consequences always come immediately. You're trying hard. You're trying, you know, you're pouring into your kids. You're pouring into this person. It's just nothing seems to change. You just keep on doing. You just keep on doing. You just keep on doing what you know you should do. Another reason might be because no one else seems to care. Okay. It's hard. It's hard to do the right thing. Sometimes we do the right thing and then we have a setback, you know? And many times people criticize us or oppose us or make it difficult. That's right. Doing the right thing will not be easy. That's right. That's right. But he says here that, let us not grow weary of doing well, for in due season, some translations put it, at the proper time. When is that? When God says, right? Yeah. Again, harvest is not immediate. You know, perhaps you've heard the story of the little child that in class planted the little plant, the seed, and the next day he's digging it up to see if it started growing yet and planting it again, digging it up. It's not going to make any progress. You got to have some patience, okay? It says we will reap. The good thing is, you know, in the natural, we can plant seeds, but there's a lot of factors that will affect whether they grow or not, how well they'll grow, how well they flourish, you know. But the good news is that God promises us that if we will reap a harvest, okay? We will reap a harvest eventually. Lori? Yeah. Many times we can do the right thing and whatever, and because other people are involved or whatever, it doesn't work out. But the thing is because of God's behind his promise, we still will reap. It just may not be in this life, you know? God will make all things right. That is the part that's hard. We don't want to wait for it. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Tim, you had your hand up. Then we'll come to Mella. Tim. Yeah. And that principle works in all the other areas too. That whatever we do, we're trying to do the right thing, that we do it for God. Not for recognition. Not because it's going to give me good results. Because God promised it will, but it may not be when we think it will. You know, it may be later. It may not be till eternity that we reap. Yeah. And to be honest with you, it's great to reap positive things in this life, but the stuff that's in eternity is going to last forever. The stuff in this life is only for a short period of time. So we're actually better off doing what that wise guy said about storing up treasures in heaven. Yeah. Norris. That's right. He says, don't give up. Don't give up. There's all kinds of stories in history about people who gave up too soon. I remember reading a story one time, and I read that it was a true story back when there was the gold rush in Colorado, and these people discovered gold in this one place, and they dug it out. They got a lot of gold out and everything, and then it just kind of petered out, you know, and it's like, well, there's got to be more. So they basically took the money that they had made, poured it back in to dig deeper and all kind of stuff, and it's like they're using up all their money, and they're not getting any more gold, and so they finally just gave up and sold it for a song to this other person. And this other person was a person who knew about the way things went, and they dug like another 5 or 10 feet and hit one of the largest gold veins ever discovered in Colorado. And if the original people had just not given up, they'd have known, but if they'd not given up, that's just a practical example to show that, you know, as long as you know you're doing what you're supposed to do. I mean, this doesn't mean that there's never a time that you're doing certain things, maybe in a relationship where it's like, well, God, should I continue to pursue this? Because there are times to stop pursuing something if God leads us to. But when you're doing what's right, when you're doing what's good, you just need to keep on keeping on, and we will reap it. Okay? So as it's about time to wrap this all up. You know, sometimes people say, well, if this is true, why are things in such a mess? Well, because maybe we've sown some bad seed and we're still reaping, or somebody else has. You know, we're still in a situation. We're going to reap perhaps some of the things that some of the other people around us have sown. But the good thing is that if we want to have a better future, if we want to do better in our relationships, do better in our finances, our health, and of course spiritually, we need to sow good seed. We need to sow good seed. And this affects our relationships. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, in everything do to others what you would have them do to you. He doesn't say do to others the way they do to you. He says do to them the way you would want them to do to you. And you just keep sowing that, okay? And so anyway, the good thing is that this is a basic principle, but there are some ways in which we do not sow. We do not reap what we sow. And that is because of God's mercy and grace. We can be saved. Because if we truly reaped everything we sowed, none of us would ever be saved. Okay. Now, again, it'd be easy for an immature Christian to say, well, God forgives, then it doesn't really matter what I do. No, because God will forgive sin, but most of the time, he leaves the consequences. And the consequences can really hurt. Okay. So, anyway. Let's wrap that up. Good thing to think about. What am I sowing? And again, it applies to every area of life. It's not just the spiritual things, although everything in our relationship with God is spiritual aspect to it, but in our finances, in our relationships, how we treat one another, you know, all that kind of stuff, we reap what we sow. And it's difficult sometimes because doing right, doing good can be difficult, but if we keep on doing it, we will get a harvest. Some of it may not be till we get to heaven, but as I said before, that's probably going to be the best way to reap it because it'll last forever, okay, not just in this life. So, all right. Father, thank you for this time that we've had to dig more deeply into a passage that probably for many of us, most of us, maybe even all of us, is a familiar one. But I pray, dear God, as we've discussed it, you've brought it home to us afresh and anew. And especially, Lord God, as we walk with you and we may be tempted to sin, to do things that aren't wise, to give into the flesh or whatever, thinking, it's not really that big a deal. God will forgive me. The consequences won't be that bad or whatever. God, help us just to follow your leading. Help us, Lord God, to do what you want us to do. Help us to treat other people the way you want us to, Lord God. And God, help us not to be judgmental toward other people, but and use us to love and encourage and maybe even lovingly rebuke those that we're in close relationship with. Help us just all to learn and grow and reap good results in our lives because we're choosing to follow you. And Father, we thank you that you do forgive when we fail, when we fall, we give into temptation. And Lord, we thank you, dear God, that one day we don't even have to worry about this stuff anymore. And we look forward to that day. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marianoaksag.org.